It's kind of interesting to listen to everybody singing, and Christmas is still sort of with us here, and we need to be remembering some of the blessings of Christmas. So I just want to share with you a few thoughts around this very beautiful Psalm 96, where in verse 9, the writer says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." How shall we discover this holiness? Well, it seems as if it's 100 Christmases ago, but I once had a fire engine. Now, the ladder on the back of the back and top of the fire engine came up and swiveled round and extended. It was a splendid red fire engine with a yellow ladder. It was beautiful. It had big rubber tires, and I remember it went well. It went very well along the landing. We lived in a three-story house in London, and it went very well along the landing, which was quite an extensive landing upstairs on the first floor. My brother and I played with it during Christmas Day, waiting to go to my grandparents for lunch. We wound it up. It had a key, a big key, and you crank the thing up, and then it whirred and whirred and whirred its way along the landing, and by stopping the motor or the spring with one lever, you could turn the ladder with another lever, and then it would whir and whir, and the ladder would extend and retract and all that sort of thing. We had a tremendous time. The baluster rail on the landing was held by lots of sort of little posts that were nicely turned on a lathe at some time, and they were just wide enough apart, we discovered, for my splendid red fire engine with its yellow ladder to drive through. And it did. My brother, of course, turned the steering wheel, and it plunged all the way down to the floor downstairs, which was a mosaic tile. And it whirred and whirred and crackled and stopped. It never went again. And I couldn't get the fenders straightened out, and I couldn't get the headlights to work properly. Or, by the way, the headlights, that was a new thing. With a great big battery in those days, you could make them glow in the dark. They never worked again. I was so disappointed. Yesterday's blessing was today's tragedy. And as a child, I looked on this heap of junk and I cried, having already thrashed my brother. I was so disappointed. What worked no longer worked. How could I be excited over Christmas again? Well, my parents implored, "Look at all the other toys you have." But that one toy was broken. And of course, my brother was the culprit. I left home and got married, had children. My son became the culprit. And still is. Of everything that's missing, broken, or not functioning. It's curious how we do this. Then my brother, well, now he's different. But he had toys, but he was interested in wildlife and I wasn't. He was interested in husbandry and animals, and I wasn't very interested at all. And I remember he had given to him two presents in the same Christmas. One was Noah and his ark and all kinds of animals, and the other was a model zoo with all kinds of animals. And the animals of both sets were made of solid lead. The dreadful thing was that they stood up well until the legs got bent. And then the legs would snap off and he would have all these animals legless. And if you drop them from the same balcony,
(laughs)
And so after he tried to thrash me, my parents pleaded with him. You know, these things don't just happen. They really break. And all the gifts I have discovered through all the years break. I remember being given a watch. And it was a splendid watch. It was a fob watch that you put in your vest pocket. And as a young fellow, I always had to wear a vest because my parents insisted. And so I would put this fob watch in my pocket. My grandpapa saw my distress. It was that I had a habit at that age of standing on my head. My watch fell out and clonked me on the nose. Or it hit the ground and ceased to function. And so he saw the problem and gave me a beautiful gold chain. I have wondered for the past 20-some years, what happened to that chain? My brother visited me two years ago, and he had a fob watch, and it was on a chain. Now I know what happened to that chain. But that fob watch, I discovered I could crank it, and it would brr, 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 and it would whir, 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 and it's during church when the preacher got very boring, I would have to reset my watch and rewind it to remind him the time is going, but not fast enough. Shush, quiet, let me go home. And I would crank this thing up. And one day in church, as a young fellow, I remember cranking it for the umpteenth time. Do you remember those old watches? You could run them backwards. You could turn the winder backwards, and it would click, 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 and sound as if you were actually winding your watch. The times I ran it backwards, I could have wound up 100 watches, and I'm sure the preacher and all the congregation knew it. However, I was cranking it for this one and umpteenth time, and it went click, toing. It never worked again. It was a dreadful machine, but I kept it for years until one day we had a dog that seemed to be interested in the time and stole my watch and shared it with several of his friends, and it got lost. I had to hand it to him. He was springing into action and had the face to continue. And he got the works when he came back. But he was so wound up, you really couldn't strap him at all. And so the story can go on. Kind of interesting, isn't it? All the presents you get. Have you noticed this year how many people made homemade presents? I had a shirt last year. It was a generous gift, homemade. It was a little on the tight side in different places. That wasn't the discomfort that bothered me. It was the fact that all the pins were left in it. And it was a little uncomfortable. I got the point of the whole thing several times over. You notice how people have been giving us cakes and bread and all kinds of things to enlarge our bodies so that we can't fit the clothes that they've made us. And then they tell us go on a diet. And the food we devour, nothing lasts. Have you noticed? A beautiful sweater soon is worn out at the elbows. A suit soon loses its shape and needs to be replaced anyway. A tie soon gets unfashionable because it's too wide and they've gone skinny again, or vice versa. Handkerchiefs, well, they get blown away. And all kinds of things, they just don't last. Now, that's when we give. Now, I may be very generous and give you a diamond, and that's supposed to be somebody's best friend, and it's supposed to last forever. But you've heard the story of people that have diamonds, how the diamond popped from the ring and went down the drain and all those sort of things. You've heard the stories how a ring is lost, a watch stops, a chain is broken. You've heard the stories how the socks wear out and the toes poke through, and the shoes dangle into nothingness. They've no soul anyway. And you've heard how all the bits and pieces we give to people are either eaten or worn out. Christmas. The first thing we do is eat too much, give too much, and spoil so much. Now, if God was in the same business of giving to us as we give to one another, God surely would be a cheat. He surely would. I remember on an occasion buying someone a large bottle of perfume, which was put on the dressing table and left in the bay window of the house we lived in, and the sun would keep on coming through the window, of course, when the sun shone, and it gradually evaporated all the perfume. That was a useless gift, but the jar was rather nice. The bottle was rather nicely shaped, sort of a piece of cut glass. So I kept that for a few years. And then we had children, and it got broken. It just went. So if you look at this from this perspective, you can be like the writer of Lamentations and say, Christmas, it's all vanity. It's all nothing. For when you've given everything you possibly can, it goes and it vanishes and that's the end of it. So what's the point of giving in the first place? Or if you want to modernize, you can come to Charles Dickens' days and you can talk about Mr. Scrooge and you can say, bah, humbug. And it's all rather interesting because we do our absolute best to make Christmas an exciting time. If God were to give as man gives, it would be a dreadful fiasco. You see, we cheat. The handkerchiefs that I receive in nice boxes, well, I can take them out of the box they come in and put them in a different box and give them back a couple of years later. You'll never know. The socks that don't fit. Well, if I hang on to them long enough and write your name on it, I can remember who not to give them to, but I can give them next year to somebody else. The slippers that only slip. Well, I can give them back if I can erase what you wrote on the bottom of them. And so it goes on. We cheat. You gave me $10 worth of gift. I'll try to make it look as if I give you $10 worth back, but actually it only cost me $4.50 because it was on sale. And that's how we go on. If God were to act towards us as we act towards each other, we would be worshipping a cheat. And so I want to bring you to the place where we can discover how and what it is that God gives, and gives so generously and so wondrously, and never asks for anything in return. God so loves, says John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And here we see several things. The first is we see the greatness, or rather the genius, showing through. We see the genius of the love of God showing through into this world. Listen to the expression, God so loved. There is the genius. That is, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one that caused the trees to grow, the one that caused the skies to unfold, the stars to twinkle, the moon and the sun to shine, the creator of the ends of the earth, that put in the depth of the earth the gold and the silver and the precious gems. He who created all things, God so loved. God so loved. God so loved. Ladies and gentlemen, the genius of God's Christmas, of God's giving, is that he loved us. And it was God who created us that he might love us. And it was the God that created us and therefore loving us that then expresses his enormous love. He sent angels to announce his great love and the proclamation of his gift. His angels said, look, the God that loves is giving to the world a Savior, Christ the Lord. The angels announced the gift. Can you imagine standing around in a party and someone unwrapping your present for you and saying, a pair of pajamas, a puppy dog, another pair of socks, and so on. It was angels that said, God has expressed his enormous love to man, and he has given them a savior. Not another politician, not another lawyer, not another leader, not another director, not a republic leader, a leader of a republic, not a dictator, not a centurion, not a soldier, not a warrior. He has given to the earth a savior. And here we see the genius of God's great love. The old people, Simeon and Anna in particular, that are recorded in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. These older people, they said, I have beheld the glory of the Lord. Old Simeon, he says, now I have seen the glory of the Lord. Now I can be dying. Now I can go to glory. Anna, who has spent 40 years and four or in worshiping God and in the service in the temple, she cries out, this is the Son. This is the Savior. This is the Christ. You see, older people announce it. They prophesy and they recognize this gift of God. Here is the babe of Bethlehem, but he is the Savior of the world. The genius of it is colossal. The stars revealed it. I'm not one that suggests that the congregation go out and look up at the stars and just try to read whatever it is in the stars. There are people that are called astrologers that do that. Astronomers understand where the stars are located. The astrologers try to read the future from the stars. It's very curious and interesting that as they read, they discover things that they don't want to know and they don't want to announce. But the star that went from the east to the west and settled over Bethlehem in Judea, the star revealed the greatness of this great God, the genius of this great God. Who can move a star? Can you, by your prayers, say, star over here, move to star over there? Can you, by some supernatural function, move a star in the galaxy? Can you, because you've become a space traveler, move a star and rearrange the stars? Not at any time. Yet Isaiah says, God knows all the stars and they're all numbered and he's given them all a name. And he casts them as a child might cast a handful of marbles down the aisle. So he has cast in the heavens the stars that form the galaxies, that form all the universe. This God has given to us. He has spoken in diverse manners and in various forms. He has revealed himself to mankind throughout all the aeons of time. This God hath in these last days revealed his genius in introducing into this world the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There's more to it than that. All the natural systems of mankind and all the natural resources of mankind and all the natural instincts of mankind have been literally sidestepped. For this child, Jesus, this gracious Son of God, is revealed to the world through a virgin. Now, I believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you why. It was because of a woman that sin entered into the world. And God said the seed of a woman would put a stop, would put things right for women, period. This woman could not naturally have a child. It was a natural impossibility for this woman to bear a child. She had never been with a man. Yet she is found pregnant, and she is found great with child, and that child was conceived within her in a supernatural manner. And cradled in the womb of the woman is a child of supernatural birth. Because through a woman sin entered into the world, God said, through a woman will I reject the world. Will I bring into the world the Savior, who is the Christ, who is the Lord. So ladies, whatever you do, don't let the chauvinistic type men put you down. Don't let them say to you it's because of you that sin came into the world. That's true, but that's not the whole story. The rest of the story, the other side of the coin is this. Also through a woman came into the world the most perfect person that ever lived, Jesus. Unto you is born the Savior. Why should he be born of a virgin? He is very God. In the presence of sinful man. But then we have to see something else. God's gift is so beautifully presented to us. We must see the greatness of God's gift. For we understand this from John 3:16. The genius is God so loved. But the greatness is he so loved the world. Now, my pocketbook only allows me to afford to buy presents for a certain small group of people. It's not possible for me to write checks galore, and it's not possible for me to buy a gift and give all the congregation of all the congregations I've ever served, though sometimes I wish I could. I was thinking the other day, as one does sometimes, sort of daydreaming, if I had $1 million, what would I do? And then I started thinking of all the people I've met since I've been preaching these past 27, 8, 9 years, and all the people that are still alive, I would buy them all presents. And then I started calculating. I needed about $7 million just to buy them all a small present. The most curious thing is this. We couldn't do it. But God so loved the entire world. Not just a small group, not just the generation that I represent or you represent. He loved all the world. And God so loved the world, he loved the generations that were to come. And each generation was able to bask in the sunlight of the Son of the living God, in the light of the gift of God, in the light of the first Christmas. All the generations since have been able to say, there is a Christ. There is a Savior, there is a Lord Jesus Christ. But then you must see the gift itself. The gift itself was quite simply this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The angels are created. God created man in his own image. Now man lives in his fallen image. We must understand that. And God, so loving the world, gave his only begotten Son, causing a woman to carry that child, to bring that child into full birth, so that the world would not be intimidated. He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He sent his Son in the guise of a child. And the child was born in abject poverty. The gift wrap is very, very wondrous. But you and I have to receive the gift. And we have to cradle the child within our heart. We have to take to ourselves. For the babe surely appeals to the old and to the young. This entire congregation can surely somehow respond to a baby. There are 3 stages of every child. Shakespeare says there are 7 stages of man, but there are 3 stages that are basic. One is a child, an adolescent, an adult. There are two basic things that happen to that child. He lives and he dies. There is one gracious soul that that child has, and God gave him that living soul. And that living soul needs to be converted. It needs to be changed from the time of living to the time of dying. The soul needs to turn 180 degrees from sin into the very holiness of God, so that the child growing into adolescence and then into adulthood can become a person in whom God is well pleased. There is more. We must see the gospel coming through this gift. Whosoever believeth in him, gospel oozing through the gift, rather like a pot of jam that the glass jar has broken and it's beneath your tree and it's given and you put your hands on the outside of the wrapping and it feels rather soggy and the sticky goo comes through. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the oozing through, the whosoever, the coming through the wrapping, the coming through the Christmas story, the coming through the crucifixion scene, the coming through the ascension glory is the Christ and he must be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of this wondrous gift, people in the temple recognize this gift. The shepherds in the fields recognize the gospel of this gift. They heard it said that he shall save his people Israel. They heard it said he is the Savior of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, parents understand the child. We see the character. We see the characteristics. We see the personality developing. We see the child revealing the personality and characteristics. We see the amalgamation of both father and mother suddenly developing in that child. And as the child grows physically, we see the likeness. As the child grows mentally, we see a similarity. And then we see this beautiful character, or the ugliness of the character. The gospel comes through. Look at the child Jesus and see the beauty of holiness. Look at the child Jesus and see the unselfishness. Look at the child Jesus and hear him say, I do always the will of my Father. Listen to the child Jesus as he deals with people. Understand the child Jesus as he develops his ministry and comprehend the Son of God as he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirits. And at that moment, at that very moment, ladies and gentlemen, understand God so loved the world that he gave the great gift of his Son. But whosoever would be believing on him, now comes the glory of the gift. The glory is this, they should not perish, but have everlasting life. How passionate this is to open the gift at Christmas Day and to discover a shirt, to discover a tie, to discover a pajamas, to discover a diamond, to discover gold, to discover the generosity of friends and relatives is a great and wonderful thing. But nothing will last. Listen to this. Unravel the gift of God. Discover the Son of God. Understand the only begotten of God. And you discover life. And if you receive the Son, you'll never perish. You'll never be like the discarded wrapping. You'll never be like the odd-shaped box. You'll never be like the broken-down toy. You won't be like the soldier that stopped. You won't be like the clock that's doing, doing, and stop. You won't be like the strange little gift that you couldn't work out or the electronic wizardry that never functioned right. I was once given one of those super electric watches that flash out the time. It irritated me at first that it would flash out the time and my day was going so fast I couldn't keep up with my watch. But then I discovered something especially about this particular watch, which was a very fine make and a very expensive piece of electronic works. It only had 50 seconds to the minute. And I took it back and complained, "It has 50 seconds to the minute. My life is running out too quick. And you're robbing me of 10 seconds a minute. I can't afford the watch." They kindly gave me my money back. The glory of this beautiful thing that God hath given to us is stunning. The glory is this, that this is the Son of God. And if I believe in him, I will not perish. I will not perish. Sitting around the Christmas table, sitting around the tree, those of us that have got a little older, we sit around and say, "I remember when I was young. I remember way back when I was a little shaver like that." And we talk of the young people as we remember we were once. We didn't have all these things. We didn't have all these luxuries. We didn't have all this money spent on us. And we tell the young people about it. No. It's true, we didn't have all that. But you know what we did have? God so loved us that he gave us his Son, that if we would believe on him, we would never grow old. We would never get senile. We would never be in the process of perishing. Our arthritis would not overtake us. Our senility would not cause us to waver. Instead, the Bible says we should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. There is the glory of it. It means quite literally, as Jesus ascended up into heaven and sits at the right hand of his Father in glory, so shall we ascend up into heaven and sit with Christ Jesus the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our privilege. But have you received the gift of God, which is eternal life? Have you? Says the psalmist, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." Beautifully read to us a few moments ago. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We need to just do that. But have you received the Christ over here? Have you received God's great gift at Christmas over here? Are you quite confident you have the gift of God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul? Then you're not in the process of perishing, but you have everlasting life. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's bow in prayer. Most blessed Father, we come before thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And in a very special manner we ask that thou would come upon us with power and might, simplicity, that the everlasting life that thou hast given so generously shall be received with all our hearts, that we may love thee with all our hearts and with all our minds, with all that we are, that Jesus Christ shall be glorified. Amen.